Hey everybody, welcome back to Easy Astrology Lessons with Dusty and Carol. I apologize for the delay, but we had some moving going on and I'm writing a couple of books. But we're going to try to get back into a weekly schedule. Today we are going to be talking about the element of fire pretty much in its entirety. I don't know how much we can squeeze in about 30 minutes. Over the next couple of podcasts, I want to go fire, air, earth, water. I'm sorry, fire, earth, air, water. I'm an astrologer, I am. And we're going to introduce a couple of new topics, concepts like octaves. A lot of you who know a lot about astrology don't know the concept of octaves because it was something that I've developed on my own. I called them triads. And then I realized that I'm not all that smart. Somebody had been actually teaching this around the turn of the century, all the way up into the 30s and 40s. And then with the advent of Neptune and Pluto and New Age and hippies, this kind of went out the window. And we don't see it in most popular, we don't see it in any popular astrology books. And a lot of the nerdy scientific astrology books will kind of gloss over it. And one of the other things is that pagans know elements as just elements, and they have their own directions for elements based on Gardner or something. Now, astrology completely disagrees with that. And I'm going to take this side of astrology because it's a lot older than Gerald Gardner, with all due respect to the guy. And there's sound astronomical, mathematical, high-level physics reasoning for the directions in astrology. So we're going to teach you all this stuff the easy way. And you know what? If it turns out that we run out of time, well, we'll just stretch it out, maybe do a couple more episodes on it. Carol, any opening thoughts before we jump into this?
I just wanted to say that I think fire is a great place to start, because when we actually get in further along where you are talking about the signs, I mean, the very first sign of the zodiac is a fire sign, so it's just a great, I mean, it just falls right into place.
And that's a good point, and I'm glad you said that, because we're going to try not to mention any astrological signs if possible. If I do, forgive me. We're just trying to take out all the astrological gobbledygook and get you into the concepts, and then we can assign labels to those concepts later. But most, if not all, astrological teaching starts out with labels, you know, planet, sign, house, aspect, all these things that I don't even want to mention, and you're just stuck memorizing. This is kind of like learning the tarot by saying, memorize this, memorize this. It fills up the young mind with so much crap that the mature mind has a hard time really getting into the zen of it all. Now, the way I teach the tarot, and if you didn't know this, go to Amazon, look up The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. One of the best books on tarot ever written, according to the reviews, both professional and from the students. And we have a totally free, you don't have to buy anything, totally free tarot podcast. Just look up Easy Tarot Lessons Podcast on Google, you'll find it. Or go to podomatic.com. But what I'm trying to get to is that I teach it organically, and I want this to apply to astrology as well. Jacques Cousteau, if anybody's old, or if you're new, James Cameron, he's the new Jacques Cousteau. These people know a lot about the ocean. They literally dive down deep in the ocean in their little one-man submarines and study the fish, as well as marine biologists and micro-oceanic biologists and stuff like that. But as smart as they are, they will never understand the ocean like a fish understands the ocean. A fish can feel the current. It just has a real sense of up, down, left, right, water temperature, pressure, because that's its entire world. So I want you, whether you're studying with me in astrology or tarot or any of the other advanced topics that I'll be getting into later, I want you to understand metaphysics like a fish understands the ocean, not like a research scientist who is objectively studying things on a cellular level. As intelligent as they are, they can't breathe water. They can't swim down there without protective gear. I want you to be one with this, because when you understand this intellectually and intuitively, you don't have to do the math, you don't have to come up with complex formula, and you don't have to make up things to justify your awareness mathematically. We learn how this works, and then we see how it applies in real life, and it's stress-free, but you will know a lot more than most astrologers or tarot readers on the planet. I absolutely guarantee that. Back over to you, Carol, real quick.
I was just going to say, you know, the first thing that you made me think of was when you talk about, like, intuitively understand the energy. It's like when you do understand how the energy works, the way people behave makes so much more sense. The way you can see a positive side to an energy, but then also a negative side to the energy. And then when you look at people's behavior, it all falls into place as to why people can do the things that they do.
Mm-hmm. And also, since astrology is nothing more than a yardstick or a meter stick, if you're, you know, on that system, it's nothing more than a yardstick or a one particular system of measuring all of the energy on this particular planet, then its applications are everywhere, in high tech, in low tech, in the garbage, in your home, in the way we interact. And you'll be able to have X-ray vision, literally. You will see through people, and you'll see through events, and you'll be able to see how and why things transpire. And if you get really good, you'll even be able to predict things by going, well, it looks like the time is right for something like this to happen. And then you'll be able to watch it unfold and go, wow, it's happening just by the numbers. Maybe there's something to this astrology after all. So I'm not going to get in the whole argument of whether astrology is any good or not, because it is a thoroughly provable discipline or science or whatever term we want to ascribe to it. But we're just going to learn it by doing it, getting results, seeing results, and letting the bean counters and analysts worry about the veracity of it all. But astrology is the father of modern medicine and psychology and various other disciplines. So let's get right into the four classic elements, which are still valid on an esoteric level. You know what? I might have to take a little break here and say, in the Druidic or Irish Celtic paradigm, there were three elements. You had land, sea, and sky. If you have a temperance card, you can see the angel is swimming and standing and flying all at the same time, at least in the Pamela Coleman Smith deck. It's very poorly illustrated, but that was the essence he was going after, was the perfect blending of land, sea, and sky. Or science likes to say solid, liquid, and gas. In Aphrodite's Book of Secrets, I will teach you about physical, mental, emotional, and that opens up to spiritual. And so these equate perfectly to what modern science says. You know, again, solid, liquid, gas. We can add plasma, but then we're going into fire, earth, air, and water. And then in Chinese astrology or Eastern astrology, I'm pretty much sure it's just Chinese astrology. They're given credit for doing that. They have five elements, but, we use the four classic elements of Western astrology, and we found that that works. So fire, then earth, then air, then water. And so, Carol, what are your opening thoughts on fire, just as compared? If we look at energy as a blob, here's a whole bunch of energy. Well, now we have four flavors of energy, where if we shine, much like we shine a light through a prism and we split it into different colors. If we use astrology as our prism, and we take just raw, you know, energy, the energy of this room, I don't like your energy, let's raise a cone of energy, you know, all these generic terms. If we take that blob of energy and force it through the astrological prism, and we break it down into four elements, is there anything specific you'd like to start off with? How is fire energy, or the element of fire, different from the blob of energy? What distinguishes it?
Well, I mean, when fire splits off, you know, the energy, the you know, the piece of it breaks off. I mean, fire is the energy that just goes out and gets stuff. I mean, it starts things. It's energetic. It's enthusiastic. It's courageous. It's you know, when you have a person, you can say there's a lot of fire in that person. That's the person who's maybe the fireman who's willing to rush into the burning building without a thought for himself.
Yeah, or a fiery personality. Somebody
right.
Very loud,
yeah.
Boisterous, aggressive.
Loud. Right. Somebody very competitive.
Yeah. It's funny. There is in real life, we had a problem with the car and had to take it back to the dealer. And I saw on the dealer, the various top salesmen had their names on, printed on the window. And it's one guy, his first name and then his last name. And between it, in quotes, it said, I'll just make up a name, Bob Pearson. It didn't say Bob Pearson and Joe, Sally Mae and Joe, whatever. It said Bob Ace Pearson, Pearman, Pearson, whatever the hell it was. But the whole point is Ace. And I thought, here's an alpha male. Here's a very fiery personality. I call myself Ace. Wow. Now, whatever you want to think about that, that's a very fiery thing to do. Look at me. I'm cool. So could we add boisterous maybe?
Right. You could also add, again, you know, like getting back to like when we eventually talk about, you know, the astrological year when things start. I mean, fire is the it's the baby. It's the person going, look at me and my needs come first. And, you know, it's all about me. And yeah, look at me. Aren't I wonderful?
Right. And fire, we talk about the spark of life, meaning
right.
The very genesis of life. So when we're looking on other planets, we want to see if life exists. In common parlance, we'll talk about the spark of life, which grows into a flame. And spiritually and metaphysically, fire has been associated with humanity, you know, earth and plants and, you know, whatever, but water or the ocean. But if we had to describe humanity or even life itself, yeah, it's all about fire because esoterically speaking, fire is that part of energy that gets out. And we can learn about the element of fire by just looking at fire. What does fire do? Well, once it starts, it consumes. And nom, 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 nom. It just gobbles and gobbles. And fire changes things. But fire is very invasive. Thoughts, Carol?
Yeah. I mean, those are, it could be, that could be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And it could also be, you know, toned down. It could be warmth,
right.
Affection. Passion.
Oh, yeah, like a bonfire is nice.
Yeah, like a bonfire is a good thing. It's just when it goes out of control and burns down the whole forest that you start having a problem.
Yeah. Wildfire is also, but fire is invasive. Fire gives off heat, light. Well, I mean, the sun. The sun is the reason we have life and we're not just a, you know, dead floating ball of rock. So fire has a very positive quality. Matter of fact, let's throw out some positive qualities of fire. I'll start. Warmth, meaning, you know, warmth of personality. Fire is contagious. It's
right.
Creative. What else?
Yeah, fire people can also be very, fire as an energy can also be exhibited a person for generosity.
Yes. Selflessness and honesty.
Right. Bravery, courage.
Right. And I want to bring up impatience because, now when we say fire people, we're basically all we mean is people who have an abundance of fire energy. We all are made of energy. That's a very scientific principle. You know, all matter is really energy, blah, blah, blah. Go talk to a professor about that. But people who have more, it's like somebody has a hairy back. Okay, that is a hairy person. Okay, somebody doesn't have a hairy back, that is a non-hairy person. So out of the energy we have, if someone has more fire energy within them, fire in their belly, yeah, we might see they're impatient, but I want to bring up a little side note. All of our emotions are tools, and if we use them properly, they're great. If we use them improperly or immaturely, we're bad. So you mentioned firemen or let's say a policeman. These are people who have such a high level, they need to have a high level of impatience. They see a burning building. they're very aggressive. Their attitude is not, well, I'll just sit here and wait for the water to do its job. It's like, no, I want to be the first one in and go kick down the door, because that fire is my nemesis, and I'm going to go save whoever's there, or I'm going to go in and put out that fire. So this impatience, or this just explosion of energy, it's a very good thing. Now, you know, at the same time, if your impatience causes you to run a red light and get a ticket, well, okay, then, you know, maybe that's a bad thing.
Another good quality that I can see for, you know, people with a lot of fire energy is showmanship. And people that are willing, you know, to get up in front of a crowd and, you know, make a speech, or like actors and actresses. I think actors as a whole probably have a lot of fire energy, because otherwise, if they weren't willing to get up and make fools of themselves and, you know, maybe, you know, forget their lines and get up and try it again and be in front of people acting, you know, we wouldn't have the movies to go to, because nobody would do anything like that.
Or theater. And
right.
You bring up a good point. The underlying message there is, you know, courage. Showmanship really involves a sense of courage. And when I said selflessness, fire energy doesn't really like to think. Fire energy is all about action. We come up with an idea and we go, yeah, let's go do it. Versus, let's go plan it out. It's like, what? Planning is not doing. Let's go, you know, go have some fun. Road trip, you know. Dude, let's go get drunk. All of that. When you get off your butt and do something, or you're excited about something, that's generally the realm of fire. And as Carol said about showmanship, there's a lot more than just standing up and saying, look at me. You've got to be willing to let people throw tomatoes at you if you screw up. You know, that's, you've got to just let it slough off your back. And that brings up another essence of fire, which is, it's not really what we would say emotionally deep. Kind of swims on the surface for the most part. Would you agree with that, Carol?
Correct. Yeah. You know, I think the fire energy, it's too busy doing things and thinking about it or getting emotional about it.
Yeah, I like that. It's too busy having fun to stop and think about it or get emotional and clingy. And again, that's just like the real element of fire. Once a fire burns something, it wants to move on to the next piece of stuff to burn. It doesn't sit there. Once the log is burned and black, fire goes out. It's like, nothing here. So fire energy is very bold and courageous and aggressive as long as there's fuel for the fire. But when you stop feeding the fire, it just goes away. So, and you'll notice this with people who have a lot of fire in their personality. They're the first ones in, but sometimes they're also the first ones out or the first ones to fall asleep, because it's such a tremendous rush of energy that, you know, it only goes until the nutrients run out, you know, or until you've just put too much stress on the system. Then it needs a rest. So we will see how fire opens up and then it contracts, and that will be earth. So fire is a very masculine, aggressive sign. We talked about masculine versus feminine. So feminine is constricting or contracting. So fire will be very explosive. That's what we're talking about today. And in our next podcast, we'll talk about earth is very congealing or reactive. And where fire is aggressive, earth is defensive. So I tell you this now so you can have a little bit to contrast and compare. But where would we see elements of fire in the real world, Carol, just offhand?
Let's see. Well, like you were saying, with a fireman, with an actor, with, I guess, at a higher thing, I was going to add to your other with, like, what kind of energy. It's also, I think it's kind of impersonal. Where people, you know, fire people a lot of times come up with great ideas that they have, but they're not necessarily ones like deep emotion, but it's like an over-encompassing, like a philosophy kind of thing. Like, this way of life would be good for everybody. Why doesn't everybody live like this? But they are down in the trenches with the people doing it individually. So it's kind of impersonal in a way.
Yeah, fire, generally speaking, we'll get into this when we talk into the signs that there are exceptions. But overall, fire is not known for its persistence. You know, it'll be persistent for the first 5 minutes. But when we're talking about longevity or lasting, fire wants people to, the whole fire and brimstone, pulpit pounding speech. It's very commanding. It's very aggressive, but it changes from week to week. And again, we can learn a lot about fire esoterically just by lighting a fire and looking at it. And I don't mean turning on your stove, where you have controlled amounts of gas going through a little nozzle. Start yourself a little campfire. Again, kids, don't do this at home. Don't want to be responsible for somebody saying, well, you should start a fire and have your house burned down. But just watch fire, look at fire. Even lightning is a form of fire. And watch how fire is variable. It burns bright, then it burns down, then it burns bright, and each flame leaps up. The essence of fire is what? Passion, energy, action, adventure, attention.
Right. It's leaders, a lot of times. People who are good leaders have lots of fire energy because they can inspire other people.
Yeah.
You know, listen to a leader speak and you get excited about what the ideas the person has. And, you know, come on, follow me. We can do this. And you can get all swept in thinking, yeah, this is, again, ideas again. Sounds good. Right on the spur of the moment. Let's go.
Yeah, that is perfect. We talked about contagion and showmanship, but generally, humans like to follow someone who really believes in what they're doing and is willing to roll up their sleeves and lead the charge. That's all fiery energy. Fire doesn't stop to think. It says, this is a great idea, let's go do it. And it's such a primal force that other people, just like moths, are drawn to the flame and go, wow, this person is really, you know, passionate about what they want to do. Because the other people are bored or doing the same old routine, and they may not necessarily want to go for the entire ride, but that's not the point. The point is fire wakes us up. As a matter of fact, I would say alarm clocks are very fire. They start blaring and they're like a siren. They're screaming at us, wake up, wake up, wake up. You know, get out of your slumber or your lackadaisicalness, because basically when we're sleeping we're just comatose, and a lot of people go through life rather comatose. And fire energy in its various forms is all about waking us up from our stupor and driving us into action. So great points, Carol, thank you.
Yeah, like a cup of coffee.
Ooh, yay, coffee. Now, just to be clear, because somebody who knows astrology might go, it's not technically correct. Caffeine, the secret ingredient or magic behind coffee, is technically an air element. But the effect of coffee on us, the, let's get up and go, that's very fiery. And it's served hot. Well, actually, it's served cold too, but that's not quite as much fun. Okay, again, more ways we might see fire outside of, obviously firemen or whatever.
Okay, I would say also, it's also could be very warlike, and get cutting instruments or fire, like a surgeon making an operation.
Yeah, again, fire is all about aggressive, incisive action. Fire changes things. A surgeon is cutting away. He's digging in to change something. And just the act of cutting something changes it. It's like, I was fine the way I was, and here comes this guy with a knife. Like, what are you doing? Well, I'm fixing you. I didn't know I needed to be fixed. So, yeah, surgeon, let's try something on a grand scale. Okay, obviously a volcano, very fire. But also the birth of the United States. We had Europeans and others, but I think pretty much primarily Europeans, if my history is anything accurate, came to a land that they perceived as available. let's not bother asking the local inhabitants. But that was very invasive. We are leaving someplace and we are birthing a new nation. We are going to do things. Teenagers, I'm going to go do it my way. To me, that's very fiery, very rebellious. Thoughts, Carol?
Yeah, the fact, and again, even the way that they dealt with the inhabitants was very fiery. They didn't consider them. They were just self-centered. This is what we wanted. We are going to do this. We are not even considering you. It is all about us.
Right, and that's, again, that's a wonderful core to really understand fire. It's not that they don't, it's not that they're not nice people. It's just fire energy itself can't be bothered to think about the consequences, can't be bothered to think about things like consideration. The reason why we have fire energy is this needs to change. This needs to happen right now. If we want sedate energy or analytical energy or emotional energy, we'll get to that. But right now, you probably hear that coming on in the background. We're just talking about the spark and the expansion. And again, there's another one. Anytime we have an expansion, oh, we're expanding into new territories, you know, increase in sales, we're allocating more resources. This is all fire energy. So we can sum it up by saying, with fire, we're aggressive, we're expanding, we're very masculine. We talked about polarities. What we call feminine energy, and that's not a sexist term, it's literally dividing positive versus negative, masculine versus feminine on an energy scale, not on a gender scale. When we talk about masculine energy, any energy that's aggressive, invasive, creative, inspiring, that's all a masculine push, or in this case, fiery. And the feminine energy will be collecting, constricting, nurturing. So almost like fire energy is more the hunter-gatherer. You know, let's go out and follow the tribe. Let's go out and we don't have a lot of roots. You know, we just go where we go. And the agricultural side, because humanity went from a hunter-gatherer society to an agriculturally based society, the agricultural is more, let's set down roots, let's take time, and that's where we really build families. When you're always on the go, you just don't make the type of deep, long-lasting bonds because there's no time for it. There's always a new adventure.
Right, and even when you go down like to the very, I mean, how life is created, and you look at the you know, the instruments that are used from that. I mean, look at the sperm versus the egg. I mean, the egg is the feminine part. Oh, and the sperm is just rushing in, you know?
No, the sperm is absolutely fire and male and aggressive and cardinal, but we'll get into that later. But yeah, that's a great analogy. Thank you. And it's not like the herb or the egg or the ovum is just going, oh, I'll just wait here for somebody to come invade me. It's doing a job. It's preparing a home. It's got, I'd say the egg or the ovum does a lot more work than the sperm. But of course, the sperm does it all at once. Swim, 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 fight to get in, fight to get in. Okay, I'm done. You know?
That's right.
Whereas the egg takes a lot longer. And there's pre-work that has to be done long before Mr. Sperm shows up. But yeah, that's a really easy way to compare, like the masculine aggressive energy that's all punched into one moment, and then the receptive energy. And fire really captures that essence of it has to happen now, and it has to be big. And so big ideas, expansion, creativity, selflessness comes from sometimes, well, it can come from consideration, but we're not talking about that right now. Selflessness in the sense of a hero, like a fireman or a soldier or a cop or, you know, any other wonderful and necessary occupation who I forgot to mention, and I apologize if I forgot to mention yours. any one of these heroic endeavors, there's no time to think. It's, as a matter of fact, that's the essence of it, is that I don't pay you to think, mister, I pay you to do. You know, we see a situation, and we go do what needs to be done. That's very fiery. So don't really expect fire to stick around to raise the kids. Don't expect fire to buy you a date or wash up afterwards or you know, I'm bringing flowers. Fire is, let's go do this now, let's have fun, and when we're bored, let's turn to something else. We all have this energy in us. Some of us have more than others. And when we go through all the four elements, we'll see that it's all balanced. It's not that there's one better than the other, but each one needs to be thoroughly understood so that we can harness this. Okay, Carol, let's say we are in the doldrums, or we're in a rut, or we're feeling blah, or we want to lose some weight, or something about us, we're just feeling like, ugh, I want to change, I just don't have the energy. I'm going to throw it completely unannounced. So folks, you're hearing this first. Carol has no idea what I'm about to say. Can you, just out of thin air, conjure up some ideas on how we could harness the power of fire? You know, little physical routines like, you know, I'm going to take up jogging or something where we're, whether we know it or not, we're harnessing the power of fire to get us out of our rut.
Right. Well, one way, like you were talking about the alarm clock, is like, you know, turn your, you know, you have to change what you're doing. You have to break the chain. So you have to do something that you wouldn't normally do, something, you know, to get your energy going. So again, if you need to lose weight, set the alarm clock. There's the fire to get you up to exercise before you start your day versus sitting around waiting.
Okay, I like that. And you made me think of this expression that I've heard that people say, that really gets my blood boiling. Again, you know, anger is...
Yeah, get yourself angry. You have to get your... Again, you have to do something to break the pattern of behavior, to, you know, do one thing different. You know, go for the walk instead of sitting in front of the TV. Get yourself up and moving. That's the fire energy.
And the law of inertia comes into play here, where they say a body in motion tends to stay in motion. Sometimes all we need is a little spark of fire. We don't need a big explosion. Sometimes, if we can just, metaphorically, if we can just get off the couch, if we can just get up 5 minutes early, if we can do one push-up a day for a month, and after a while we're like, well, this is stupid. So now we're up to two or three or five, right? But you know, we set that course. Follow through is a completely different element. Persistence, habit, that's completely different. But fire starts everything. If we didn't have fire energy, we would never wake up. We'd never get off the couch. We'd never change our routine. So thank you very much, Carol. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add one thing when you were talking about, you know, the sperm and how people, you know, the fire people don't hang around and this sort of thing. And, you know, in a way, it's like I kind of like to say something along those lines, because I don't want people to get the impression that fire people, because they're not. I think if anybody really feels something intensely, it's a fire person. And like, fire people are crushed when it's just like, you go out, you're like, wait a minute, I don't like that you did that. And it's like, they're like, oh my God, I just didn't realize that, because it's just because they're so centered on the action, but they really do have deep, can feel like, you know, their feelings can get really hurt. It's like, and it's just because they never thought of it, of how you would react. They're so worried about the action itself.
No, absolutely, and that's a very good point. And when we're talking about fire, earth, air, and water people, no one is 100% fire. No one is 100% earth or whatever. But when we're saying fire people, we're talking people who are obviously fire-centered. So I don't want anybody to think we're talking in absolutes. But be that as it may, so when I say a fire person won't buy you flowers, I'm not saying that fire people are selfish or stingy or non-romantic. I'm saying the essence of fire energy is, let's go do something. Let's have fun. And Carol brings up an excellent point where it's not that these are bad people. It's not that this is bad energy. it is just so myopically focused on the action. A race car driver, you know, or high performance athletes, people who are driven to big gains and hyper competitive people, they can be nice and pleasant and romantic and sweet and placid on the weekends, but the essence, you know, if we group them all into one of four categories, they belong to fire. They, no matter what zodiac sign they are, their energy is all about conquest and going and doing things. And it's more of taking things for granted, or we only have so much space in our brain. And it's not, I don't want to think about your needs. It's that 70% of my brain is focused right on this wonderful thing that we're doing. I'm just kind of expecting you to let me know what you need.
Exactly. I was just about to say that. It's just like if you said, well, look, like for women, like I really wanted you to bring me flowers. And this fire person would be like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, you should have told me. If you would have told me right at the beginning, it would have been flowers every day, first thing, you know, and then we go play, you know, which kind of sounds funny, but it's that fire energy of, yes, let's get things accomplished. And if, you know, if you need flowers to make you happy, then flowers you shall have. You'll have a room full of flowers. Fire energy tends to be idealistic that way. Not necessarily common sense oriented, but again, that's a different sign. We'll get to that, different flavor of energy. Again, recapping, fire, earth, air, and water are flavors of energy, we'll say, or their wavelengths of energy. Now, we're going to wrap this up in just a little bit, but before we do, I want to mention the term octaves, because it's just a good term. Fire comes in three flavors. We'll get into the names later. Matter of fact, every one of the elements will come into three flavors, which is why we end up with 12 zodiac signs. Each element, fire, earth, air, and water, gets a beginning, a middle, and an end. Now, I'm glad we started with fire, because fire starts as a spark or an explosion, but it has to have an ignition point. That is the first essence of fire. Pre-spark, pre-explosion, no fire. It just doesn't exist. Once that spark or explosion or ignition starts, the next or most expansive stage is the brightness of fire. So we would say like an explosion or a spark or the ignition of something, lighting a match, that's very beginning fire. And the middle fire, just like lighting a match, it flares up real big. That's like a bonfire. That's the middle part. We'll give these things labels later. The last part of fire is the dying ember, or the transition. It's the fire dying out, or when you do have a big bonfire, all of those little sparks that go flying off out to start, you know, new fires, those little transitionary sparks are the third or the dying phase of fire. So we have the beginning, middle, and end of fire. We will have the beginning, middle, and ending of each element, and that's how we'll find out what the signs are. But beginning fire, very impatient, very explosive, very, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. That's the alarm clock. The big bonfire is the showmanship. That's the warmth, the bonfire, we all gather around. It's heating for everybody. It's how we cook our foods. It's the most stable aspect of fire. And then the final element, or the ending of fire, is very adaptive, and, you know, little sparks going off or dying out, because it's transitioning from fire into earth. Carol, thoughts, please.
No, just to say that's exactly right. And it does seem also, too, with the way the fire energy moves in people as to their thought processes, the more you evolve through the fire energy, like to the, to the end, it's like the thought processes do seem to get deeper. I would just say that.
Right.
As far as beginning to like coming up with an idea to really putting out, formulating it into like a philosophy of life would be like the highest at the, at the end of the fire energy for the
Right.
cycle.
And just to totally jump ship here, this is for all the tarot enthusiasts. And you don't have to know the tarot to appreciate this, but I'm just going to throw out all four elements just to give you an idea. If we start with water, just for fun, and we say we're going to go backwards, we're going to go water. Actually, we're going to, water, air. Let's do fire, then earth. So water represents, if you were into the tarot, you'll know that water equals cups, or basically water equals emotions. So that is people wishing or desiring something. You know, here's a piece of land. We'd like something there. You know, we really have to have a need. You know, we have this emotional need for it. Now, this is the secret of manifestation, by the way, but we'll get into that much more in depth much later. But first, there has to be a desire. Otherwise, nothing ever changes. So we have this, but it's still just an emotional desire. And then let's say we might make me go to air. You know, and air is all about thought. So then we come up with a plan. Okay, well, we're thinking about it. We're thinking, what if we do this? What if we do that? We scribble something down, erase it, type it up, tear it up, write it in pencil, erase it, go back again. And we're formulating our ideas. We're translating our raw emotions into, you know, a concrete plan. Well, now we're planning. We've got a piece of land, we want to put something there. Well, fire is where we have a plan, and this is, of course, if we're doing everything constructively, we can do it all ass backwards. But in this scenario, we've had a desire, we've thought out a plan. Now fire energy comes into play. That's where the bulldozers come in. That's where we level the land. That's where we start building something. We got men running around in hard hats harassing women. Which is always fun, by the way. We got steel girders going up. There's lots of noise. There's a lot of energy, but we're seeing people working and building. Literally, the construction site is where we are transforming this raw, sedate land that was happy just being what it was into our new vision. And what we've ended up building was a monument because, let's say, we've done it very well. Well, now we've got earth energy. Earth energy is placid, it's going to last forever. So we started with the desire and then we planned out what we were going to do. Fire energy was all about let's go actually do it and let's tear things down and bulldoze and I-beams and hammer and nail. And that's what we're focusing on now is that big transition. And what's left to just sit and weather against time is our monument, is our pyramid. It ain't going to change for a very long time. That's Earth. We'll get into more of that later, but I wanted to show you by comparison where fire fits into the energy spectrum in a real life thing where we can point to it and say, this is fire in action, not just some crazy terms we're using. What do you think, Carol?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, I guess we'll leave it at that. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We'll come back next week and we'll pick on Earth, air, Earth. I'm picking Earth. I'll get my directions right. Fire, earth, air, water. We'll come back next week. Pick on Earth. Hopefully, we'll have a good time. I thank you all for being here. Please tell your friends about this. Hopefully, like us on Facebook or on Podomatic. Please subscribe on iTunes. All you do is one click, you subscribe. Every time we have a podcast, boom, it goes right in your iPod. If you have any questions, email Carol. Or email me at duskywhite.net, and we will get more in depth over time. But right now, this is supposed to be a stress-free way to understand the concepts and the basics, so that when we get into the advanced stuff, we're not still trying to figure out the basic core meanings. It all makes sense. So follow us along as we go 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And the next thing you know, you'll be dancing in the streets. Any parting thoughts, Carol, for the home studio audience?
No, just that, a good thing to do to, again, to help you learn all this is start to take note in your own life of when you're using this kind of energy. And that makes it even easier to understand. And you'll start to see things from day to day in your experience that will remind you, and then it all becomes that much more easily second nature.
Yeah, look around for fire energy. When you go, say, I am going to subscribe on iTunes. You know, it doesn't cost me anything, and it gets that dusty off my back. That's just jumping into action. Just see if you can find fire energy around you. You know, energy, excitement, expansiveness, selflessness, bravery. Maybe even a little shouting. All right, thanks, everybody. Have a great day, and we'll be back soon.